It's March 22nd, 2012. This is The Hell Yeah Show. Hello and welcome to The Hell Yeah Show. I'm Alan.
I'm Emery.
We're here bringing you best practices for fine living, advice on how to not let technology ruin your day. Emery.
Set me free. Why don't you, babe?
Fantastic.
I tried to do it with the, I love that inflection that they get with that line.
It is surprisingly catchy, given that it comes from a bunch of Mad Men clips. You want to tell everyone what we're talking about?
No. Yeah. Okay. So there's a, we've got it in the show notes, and I'm sure people have seen it. If they like Mad Men, they've definitely seen it, but someone did like a, video mashup of, the Supremes to Mad Men clips, and it's amazing.
I think it's well edited. Like, it's visually, it's nice. The audio is well.
It is great to look at. It's like a Pamplemousse video almost.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a lot like that.
It has a similar feel to it, and I love the way that they do the transitions and like the blocking of the scenes. And like, I really enjoy watching it. It's pretty good, and that show comes back this weekend.
So get excited!
Yes. I have to watch. Yeah, I need to like rewatch like the last two, I think, from last year. That's usually what I do.
I don't even know where. They just started their own company. That's where I am.
Oh, okay. You're at least you're in the right season.
Oh, okay. Oh, I am? That's the most recent season?
Yep.
Huh. Okay. I'm not as far behind as I thought I was.
Nope.
That's what I am far behind on is Breaking Bad, but that is an entirely different story.
Yeah, are you watching that at all? That's a really good show.
I'm behind on it.
I know, but how
behind?
Yeah, let me phrase the question. How much of the show have you seen?
The Fly episode was the last one I watched.
The Fly episode.
They're in their lab and there's a fly that they need to kill.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty brilliant, but
yeah, you got a ways to go.
Okay. Anyway, but yeah, you should check this video out if you are excited for the new Mad Men season.
And even if you're not, if you just like good video editing, like it's really clever.
Good video mashups.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
All right. And what about something you don't like?
I don't like that you stuck this stupid story on my list of stuff about, and I quote, "A guide for installing Android ice cream sandwich on your unlocked Samsung Galaxy S2 GTI 9100 in under 30 minutes. I love that there is a guide to installing an operating system on your phone. And it's like, yeah, so this is the super easy guide and it only takes half an hour.
under half an hour.
Under 30 minutes.
You could finish this in under 30 minutes if you wanted to.
Wow, what a fantastic, I don't know. This is, really? I don't know. I'm kind of angry that you even put this on the list.
Well, we've talked before on this show about the difficulties with old Android phones and software updates.
Yeah. Well, I guess what it all comes down to is that the people that make Android handsets also have these longstanding relationships with the mobile operators where they kind of let them control the show. So even if a handset can run a newer version of Android, like, it's really up to the carrier if they want to let people do it or not. And that's why they do all those stupid customizations. So when you turn on your phone, it like plays the Verizon jingle or, you know, Sprint or AT&T logos flash and all that stuff. Like, you know, part of me suspects that like the only thing that they're contributing to the process of releasing software for their handsets is the branding. I mean, really, or removing features that they don't like Bluetooth data connections, like they used to do back in the day.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So they have like, so it's good that they're letting people, it's not that they're letting people, but I'm glad that there are people that are enthusiasts that are able to get current software for their handset. But, you know.
But it sounds like a pain. I mean, you read through this article, it looks like a pain. But, here's the thing. This is why I snuck this in here, because I got a little thing of my own here.
Okay.
So I'm reading
through this. You have an agenda.
Right? I do. So I'm reading through this, right? It's like Samsung Galaxy S2, you know, you do all this, like you're going to have to root it, and then you're going to have to do all this stuff, and you have to download these zip files, and then you have to, you know, run these terminal commands and do all this stuff. And then maybe it'll break your phone, and if it doesn't, then you're going to have a new version of Android on your Samsung Galaxy S2. And you know what I thought immediately?
Why bother?
I want a Samsung Galaxy S2.
Really?
Because this sounds cool to me. The fact that I can open up my phone to that degree, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I want to root my phone.
That's the trick. So
I guess
I think it is very attractive. Yeah. The problem is that it's very attractive for a very small segment of the population. The vast majority of people ultimately do not care that Android is a quote-unquote open platform, because they are never going to...
They're never going to follow these instructions.
And they're never going to install a compiler...
Right.
to write software that they can put on their phone.
Yeah.
You're more likely... You know, I would argue that there are more people, like more hobbyists with an iPhone or an iOS device that are using Xcode and like experimenting with writing software than there are for Android.
Maybe. I don't know.
The cool thing though is that this is, you know, that there's like this hacker market for the Android side. So and you know, I do like the DIY culture and aspect of Android as a platform. But I don't know that it's there's the Ubuntu code that's been floating around these days where people are looking to do like a desktop OS that you can like run on a handset and like dock and then plug into a monitor and a keyboard. I mean, you just basically carry your phone. And then you walk up to something.
Makes me want an Android. Oh my god!
I think you should go get one.
I should go get a Samsung Galaxy S2.
Well, maybe not that, but
no. Oh my, yeah. I was just like just a little thought I had. Just like, you know what? Yeah, I could. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're suitably nerdy. I think you could probably pull it.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. I guess. That's the other thing, though, too.
Is like, even though I feel like I could get into that, and Lord knows, like, over the last decade, I've done my share of like fiddling and screwing around with mobile phones and operating systems and software. Like, is it something I want to do now? Not right. So much.
No, I actually had a conversation with someone. Last week I had a conversation with someone and they're like, I'm looking for a new phone. I was wondering what you thought. And I'm like, well, what do you think about your phone? How do you think about your phone? You know, what is your sort of, what role does it play in your life? Sort of how do you consider it? And this person's like, yeah, you know, I just want it to work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you should get an iPhone. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to work. It's going to continue to work.
I am probably going to be switching to one of the AT&T MVNOs pretty soon.
And I think those are, you need an Android to do that, right?
No.
No?
Nope.
Do they have...
No, because we've got in our house, we have AT&T phones. And even if they don't unlock them, which is stupid because they don't do that unless Tim Cook calls in to AT&T and yells at them and makes them. There's like this, a few of the virtual operators use the AT&T network, so I could move my account to them and not have to unlock my phone.
Huh. Wow.
So I could benefit from some of their pricing.
I thought you needed to, like, to run their client or something on your phone itself. But that's no. Everything is taken care of on the back end.
Yeah, it's all hardware, yeah.
Huh. All right. Cool.
So there's like, I found out that though, like, I did the math and like on one of them in particular, I would be saving $62 a month.
That is significant.
And that's with two lines, unlimited everything. So unlimited 3G data on two lines, unlimited text messaging on two lines, and unlimited phone calls on two lines.
What's the provider?
I'm not saying.
Okay. All right.
There's a couple of them out there, though.
You've got some secret you don't want to let out?
No, it's not that. It's just that I am loath to... I don't want to say because I don't like the company that owns them.
Oh,
and I'm not certain that I'm going to pull the trigger on it yet, and I have to do a little more research. Once I've done some research and I've actually tested, and then there's another issue though, in that AT&T completely sucks. So their network blows, and if I'm in the house, I can't make phone calls very well. So I have a microcell. Now The microcell is like this little box that plugs into my my Switch at home, and then the cell phones in the house magically get reception and then are able to talk to AT&T. Here's the problem. I have to have an AT&T account in order to have the microcell talk to them. I can decide what devices are allowed to talk to the microcell, but I have to have an active AT&T account. So I have to talk to my BFF, Eric, and say, hey, would you mind, quote unquote, taking ownership of my microcell and leaving it at my house so that I can make phone calls on my cheap cell service that I'm getting from somewhere else? Yeah. So I got to find someone that'll help me out there, but run interference, if you will.
Cool. All right. Well, let's see. On my end this week, a couple things. It's been an eventful week, but nothing exciting. This is probably the most exciting it gets, though.
How's the Vita?
The Vita. The Vita is clearly the most exciting exciting thing that's happened to me this week.
Have you named it Danny?
No.
That's
pretty great, though. Danny the Vita. Danny the Vita. Yeah. The Vita's charging cable is an awful contraption. So you know how it's great that most electronic devices are standardizing to this wonderful system where there's a USB plug on one end and there's a plug that goes into the device on the other end. Ideally, the plug that goes into the device is also a sort of standard size so that you can use...
That's a European mandate, actually.
Really?
Yeah, devices that are being sold for Europe have to have I think it's micro USB.
Yeah, micro USB. Yeah, so you can just carry one cable, and then you can carry a wall adapter that you plug the USB cable into. You plug that into the wall, and then you plug the other end into your device, whatever your device is. So, and I can carry that everywhere, and I've got it in my bag all the time.
Sure,
wherever I am, I can charge any of my devices. So the PlayStation Vita, given Sony's wonderful track record of intercompatibility with their peripherals
and some of the finest rootkits,
yeah,
in the business.
The PS Vita charging cable does have a USB plug on the other end. The plug into the Vita is proprietary. On the other end, however, there is a USB plug which plugs into a Sony receptacle, which then plugs into the wall. So I figured, well, I'm sure it's a USB cable, right? It's going to get power over USB. Everything's going to be fine. You know what? I'm going out of town for spring break. I'm just going to take the USB cable, and then I can plug the USB into my iPad adapter or my computer, whatever. It'll charge the Vita. No. So it does not get power over USB normally.
What?
It does not get power from USB if you plug it into a computer unless you turn the Vita off.
Really?
Yes. If you completely power down the Vita, then it will accept power over USB from my laptop, but not from my iPad USB to wall jack adapter.
Well, hold on. Let me think.
So people online, you can search online. People online have figured out you can basically take these little USB junction devices and you can flip some of the wires inside of them.
Yeah.
And you can and then use one of those. And you can make the Vita charge from a normal USB to wall power adapter.
That's interesting.
By switching some cables around. But if without that...
So clearly they've done this just to sell cables.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, there's no other reason that you would do that. It's just a dick move.
Right. Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Oh.
I know. It's awful. It's just like, why? I mean, all modern devices are standardizing to this really, really nice system. And Sony's, this device is supposed to be a modern device. It's
got radio
in it. It's doing all the things that modern devices are doing. And
there is nothing that consumers like more than lugging around five different chargers for a bunch of crap in their bag.
Yep. Like I'm not gonna carry it around with me if I have to bring its massive tangle of charging cables around with me too. That's not gonna happen.
That's dumb.
Yeah. So terrible. What is also dumb, but in a good way, is the other exciting thing that happened this week, which is Cards Against Humanity. So you were unaware of this.
Quite.
I imagine. Okay.
Blissfully unaware. I'm an old man.
Yeah. So, Cards Against Humanity is one of a number of kind of indie card games, like party game type of things, And this has been it's been very popular. It was up on Amazon, sold out very quickly. They just did a new run and put it up on Amazon and an expansion. The expansion sold out immediately, and the original stuff is probably expansion. Selling pretty quickly as well. Yeah, so expansion. So it's like apples to apples in that you have a number of question cards, for lack of a better word, and then a number of like answer cards.
Okay.
Just like apples to apples has their adjectives and their nouns. And it's kind of
losing
like,
me. I hate board games.
Have you never played apples to apples?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one game I like. I like Catchphrase.
I don't know that one.
It's the only board game. It's the only like tabletop game I play.
So the label of Cards Against Humanity, the subtitle, a party game for horrible people.
Oh, I'm a horrible person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you a little more interested now?
I am. Actually, I am.
Okay.
Go on.
So here's what happens. So the judge pulls one of the black cards.
There's a judge.
There is a judge. This black card says, why can't I sleep at night?
Why has it got to be a black card
here? I don't know, but there's also white cards.
Of course there are.
So the black card says, why can't I sleep at night? And then everyone else submits their white cards. I've just pulled a random one out here. This one says, a defective condom, which is not a bad reason to not sleep at night.
Been there.
The profoundly handicapped is another one here.
They are loud.
yeah.
I'm a horrible person. He said, I mean, come on. I'd be great at this game.
This is great. Here's another black card. What would grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming?
My grandma or any grandma?
What would grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming?
I'm sure I could come up with something. Pull a card. Tell us.
Women's suffrage.
She wouldn't find. Well, my grandmother would not find that disturbing.
See, you are rationalizing too much here.
Okay.
Okay. A fetus.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'm on board with that. They're a little weird.
It's basically apples to apples, but with the most ridiculous. For people who hate. or for horrible people who hate humanity, this is a really fantastic party game.
Are you going to get me a set of these cards?
You could pick one up on your own if they're still available on Amazon. But
I like
I'm
when you
guessing,
get me presents.
I'm guessing that they've probably already been sold out because these are a hot item. They have indeed. They are completely sold out. Look at that.
Speaking of sold out,
man,
I got to tell you something.
Sold out.
Yeah, speaking of sold out. I purchased, and you're going to like this because you have one, on eBay, I found the Waterfield Designs Mazzetto that I liked.
Oh, I like mine a lot.
Yeah, it's a bag for people who are going to be shocked that I purchased another bag. But the one I got is brown leather with a green interior and is for it fits my 13-inch MacBook Air and iPad. Lovely. Perfect.
Nice.
I really like it a lot. It's a good bag.
Yeah, I have one that is like I think 10-inch or whatever. You know, it fits the iPad. And it also I found actually fits a camera fairly well, an SLR camera.
Really?
Yeah,
like body and lens.
Body and lens, yeah, but not extra lenses. I mean, you basically are just going to get a body and not a huge lens, but it works.
Right on. So, we went. Yeah. We were at the Apple store last week. Or I guess 2 weeks ago almost, and they had a Liz needs to get a new computer, and so we're kind of looking around. She's like banging on keyboards and trying them out and everything. She really wants that supposedly and rumored 15-inch MacBook Pro without an optical drive, like the quote unquote 15-inch Air. She wants that.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't exist. That's what she really wants. And I don't know if that would be easier to carry
yet.
Yeah, supposed to be coming around. Maybe, I don't know. Do you think Birdman will get it? Will he fly it in? Yeah. The Birdman?
I think the Birdman is...
it's another thing I had not seen until
I don't think the Birdman
me.
Is doing anything particularly amazing anytime soon. Here's a public service announcement, folks out there.
Okay, do it.
Yeah. The Birdman is a hoax.
Now, you don't mean Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
No, this is a different Birdman.
He is very real.
And I know it's hard to believe that someone called the Birdman could possibly be a hoax.
You
may have seen a rather convincing YouTube video of a guy using what he described as an Android, some sort of Android unit.
That's the first clue that something's hokey.
Yeah, clearly. Android unit and Wiimotes to control...
I didn't see the Wiimotes. No.
An Android unit and Wiimotes to control a set of wings, which allow him to fly for about 5-10 seconds, something like that.
Sure.
But he's able to sort of like take off the ground and fly for a little bit and then land softly.
Well, the problem is that the main brains of that operation, the mobile operator that sold it to him, is going to discontinue it in 6 months and then never release any software for it ever again.
Clearly that is the issue here.
That's probably why he's crashing.
Turns out this is actually Netherlands artist Floris Kijk. Got to be careful with that last name.
Yeah. Anti-Semite.
Jeez. K-A-Y-K. Took on the character of
I would say Cake.
Okay. Cake. Oh, Floris Cake.
Yeah.
All right. He took on the character of Jarno Smeets.
All right. Okay, go on.
Is this not sounding fake to you? What's wrong here?
Yeah, this sounds great. Sounds like a Bond villain.
Yeah, yeah. During his Human Bird Wings project. So he recently came clean on Dutch television, saying, "No, I'm just a filmmaker, and I spent 8 months crafting this elaborate hoax." So there's a whole blog of like his development of this set of wings, and you know all of the steps in the process, and then the final step is actually testing it. So
yeah, it's like the Wright brothers. It's like like the Dutch Wright brothers.
Right. So I was initially intrigued by this and not entirely disbelieving it. So I sent it to a friend who knows about these sorts of things and knows about wings. He said, "The wings are easy. The problem is having enough power to flap them without being too heavy to fly. Find me something with 100 times the energy density of a lithium ion battery and a motor capable of 100 newton meters of torque that weighs less than 20 pounds, and you can fly to class." He was doubtful. I believed.
Why 20 pounds? Do you know?
Yeah. What's that?
Why 20 pounds?
Why 20 pounds? It's a trade-off between the amount of power you are packing, and the, amount of, I mean, the more power or the more weight you have, the more power it's going to take to get you off the ground.
I understand that, but
yeah.
Is the 20 pounds like an arbitrary because, assuming someone's 200 pounds or...
Yeah, I think the 20 pounds is an estimation, but okay. Yeah. That is the Birdman, in case you were fooled by that as well. You should watch the video because it's pretty well crafted.
It's not as good as the Mad Men video. If you can only watch one video,
time to watch one video. Yeah.
All right. Our dozens of listeners are very busy people, and we have to kind of prioritize things a little bit. I would really hate to send them off on a Birdman goose chase.
No, I mean it's more. It's less than I'm advocating support of the Birdman. It is more I'm saying, hey, if you saw this on your Twitter feed like I did, Don't be believing.
Equally absurd are
don't be believing.
Equally absurd would be the Pirate Bay and low orbit server drones, or I believe as I referred to it, flying servers that go through the air.
This is fantastic. So there's another story. There's again flight here.
Yeah.
There's another story.
Here's the deal. We got to get some satellite space because we can get these low Earth server drones that can hover. As in, no one can shut down the Pirate Bay, so we can always have our file sharing torrents going.
Yeah.
This is my expert in the studio.
Right, your guest from the Pirate Bay?
Yes. His name is Roger, and he lives in the basement of the science building.
Great. there's this story that was interpreted as a fairly serious story by a couple places this past week.
This is a problem with censorship. We have to have a place without country to hover our service.
So that the Pirate Bay would be launching low orbit server drones, which would fly in the air and host their torrents.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be commercial drones. I mean, part of the reason that this came up, I think, was because there's been some talk about, I mean, you know how the military uses these unmanned aerial drones to do things like, you know, kill people. So there are people that are talking about commercial applications for this, and even police departments and law enforcement agencies are looking at these. And there's been, on a couple of mailing lists I'm on, people that have been talking about some of the ramifications of this and, you know, what the limitations are. And I think that's probably the impetus for people saying, well, you know what you could do is you could also, like, you know, essentially offshore your data services to something that's hovering through the air and have some sort of like mesh network where they're, you know, a network of peers that cannot be censored or shut down. And it's, there's a lot of people that are, you know, talking about things like this, especially, in light of government upheaval in Syria and, you know, other parts of the world where, government censorship is very, very, very much a force in shutting down these types of efforts, or at least monitoring people and rounding them up and having them arrested and charged with crimes and whatever. So there's a lot of people that are always looking for ways to combat that. So I don't know that people want to distribute copyrighted material enough to not pay for movies, but will fund drones. That will orbit the Earth, and don't see it happening.
My favorite part of this is this quote from a representative of the Pirate Bay. We're already the most resilient and the most down to earth. That's why we need to lift off. Being this connected to the ground doesn't feel appropriate for us anymore.
Yeah, you guys are real astronauts.
Yeah, clearly. Forging ahead.
That's why we need to lift off. Being disconnected to the ground does not feel appropriate.
Oh, yeah. And
that's a little tedious. Just,
terrible.
I mean, there's some really cool things you could do with this, though, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
but you'd have to actually do it first.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think that the pirate market is likely to fund it.
No, and I don't think the Pirate Bay has the engineering talent to design, these sorts of drones and operate them.
You don't think that world's best and brightest?
Yeah.
I mean, we did just have this week Einstein's complete works were released on the web, so you don't think that, like, maybe someone somewhere in rural Sweden is currently
reading up?
Yeah. Getting smart.
Yeah. Okay.
You're right. I mean, maybe they're like I said, I mean, they're probably more likely looking for pornography than trying to create a way or to have man-made wings that can fly you into satellites that host your torrents.
If we get the Pirate Bay, we should really get the Pirate Bay talking to the Birdman, and then they can both just make all of these promises and then end up with a hoax YouTube video.
Yeah. It's like we always, I mean, I'm not going to go into any of it, but this like last couple of weeks, we usually do a pretty good job of like avoiding anything political, but it's been like the most tedious. I'm exhausted. And like we were looking at the news stories of the week and we were trying to figure out what we can talk about. I am beat just by being connected to anything, and now we're gonna have low orbit drones that disseminate material to people. Like I there's an asteroid that, you know, there's like a 1 in 5,000 chance of it like hitting the Earth in 20 years or whatever. I hope it hits us. I give up.
These low orbit server drones are the
these are just, I mean,
are humanity's last stand for you?
I don't know. I can't.
This is the end.
Yeah, I think we're going to spend any effort in making sure that people can see torrents. That's like the least important thing I can think of right now. Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. The other least important thing, I guess. I don't know.
That's more important than that.
It is more important than that. Apple's cash reserves.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people seem to be very interested in.
They've been doing pretty well lately.
If you haven't noticed, Apple has been selling a lot of products, and turns out they make a lot of profit on those products.
Yeah.
And turns out they turn a lot of that, or they keep a lot of that profit as cash and just hold on to it.
Yeah, you know what? Can we also back up just a little bit? I want you to apologize to me about Mike Daisy.
Oh my God! Why isn't this on the show notes?
I was
never on the other side of this.
You were giving me a hard time about him. We never talked about it on the show in any real detail. But when I saw him, I watched he was interviewed a few months ago on Bill Maher.
Yes,
and I could not stand him. Like, I didn't know anything about him. I didn't have any... This is actually, like, the best-case scenario. I could not come into... we could change the show notes from that. It doesn't have to say that. But the... I think the... I had no preconceived notion. I had no agenda. I mean, on the one hand, yes, I'm an Apple guy, and I have been since 1984, right? That's fine. But I had no real dog in the fight, as they say, when it comes to Mike Daisy. Like, I didn't have any impression of him.
Should we explain who Mike Daisy is?
Yeah, he's a performance artist and monologuist that he traveled to China and visited factories and talked to people. And he put together like a one person show monologue thing. Was it called Mike Daisy and the Apple Factory? Something like that.
It's called the Agony and Ecstasy of Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Okay. So he has this whole thing. But then the article at NPR was called Mike Daisy and the Apple Factory. Because then he was on National Public Radio and he was on This American Life. And his whole thing about this, the Agony and the Ecstasy of Steve Jobs, was about Apple and the factory workers in China. Now, my biggest beef with this is that Apple is probably the most ethical employer in China. And I realize that maybe that's not saying a lot. Because that's like saying that, you know, you don't beat your dog that often or something like that. Like, it's a brutal environment. I get that. But there are also people in the United States that politically are like, you know, trying to exercise pressure on Apple. Like, you know, you're doing all this manufacturing overseas and you need to bring that, you know, take that out. And then, you know, what's going to happen to the people that work in the Foxconn factories now? I mean, even if they're allegedly, you know, children that are suicidal and being, you know, kept in closets overnight. Like, what happens when the best gig in town leaves? And the other problem that I had with it is that he didn't really talk about anybody else. You know, there's a lot of people that have their factories in China.
Right.
And I don't know if it was just because Apple has done very well lately and they're, you know, walking around with a target on them, or if it was like, you know, out of some expectation that Apple needed to set a better example. But, I mean, looking back, I mean, you could probably make a pretty good argument that Apple did do a lot in that area. I mean, they were actively engaged and they did try to stay close to that. And I mean, maybe they could do better, but they always could, you know, like everyone can always do something better. So, I don't think that Apple ever gave the impression that they weren't interested in improving things. I mean, in the case of Google, they outright left the country, right? They could have stayed, and they could have, you know, yes, they were constantly under attack.
Google's operations in China were nowhere near as significant as the stuff Apple has over there. So it'd be a lot harder for Apple to sort of just, you know, walk away.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, you know, Foxconn does have factories in other parts of the world. I mean, they do some manufacturing of parts in Brazil and other parts of South America also. So, but and that's the same company, you know, like it's Foxconn.
Yeah.
24/7. Yeah. So, but I don't know. I think that Apple is probably playing it as well as they can because they don't want to have the Chinese government getting really aggressive with them and potentially harming business. But at the same time, they need to be able to apply some pressure to raise these standards and these expectations. But then on the other hand, the reason that this stuff gets made in China is not necessarily because it's put together by slave children. It's because they're doing a better job than anybody else does.
Well, that's what – I mean, there was some talk about that, about sort of – I guess it was Obama and Steve Jobs had a conversation about it or something.
That was right? Awesome. Yeah. Because yeah, like, at the White House, they had some dinner, and I guess President Obama was like, so – you know, you've got all these manufacturing jobs in China, and Steve like said essentially like, yeah, and they're never coming back here. Like right. Those jobs are gone. Those jobs right. belong in China because that's where they are. You know,
right? I mean, it's like there's some example of, you know, they changed the iPhone 4 screen at the last minute or something like that.
Yep.
And you know, within
it's crashed.
They had the entire assembly line changed to accommodate it.
Yeah, when they were doing like the test, I guess, for the iPhone, they had the screen, and Steve like pulled it out of his pocket, and he said, you know, people are going to carry this in their pocket where their keys are, and it's getting scratched. And he's like, this is BS and sucks, and you need to fix it, like, right now. So they put someone on a plane, and they flew out there, and they got the Gorilla Glass on it.
Right. I mean, yeah, things like that. That is, you know, I don't know about the situation that closely, but those are the sorts of things that were cited in this article about, oh, well, this is why – you know, Steve Jobs basically said, no, we're staying in China.
There's a lot of things about China and labor all around the world that suck. And I don't know that Apple should be the target of that. It just doesn't, I understand the frustration and it's whatever, but watching his interview and talking about this on Bill Maher, something did not sound right to me. And, well, I mean, and it wasn't just that, like, he was like a smug D-bag about it all, but like there was something
to go. It wasn't at Nike. You know, I mean, it's just like maybe Apple's the company of the day to be facing this stuff.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, Nike still has problems with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the focus just shifted away because, you know, Apple is in
Kathy,
the limelight.
Kathy Lee had children making shirts. That's really what saved Nike. But then I don't know. Like, I was really angry watching this interview, and I got all pissed off, and I sent you a text message, and you were like, "Why? What's wrong with him?" You know, and I was just like, "Oh." So then, when the story broke that like a lot of it was fabricated, I felt very vindicated. And I was like, "Yeah," and you know, like, and he doubled down on it, which I think is also stupid because he's like, "Well, yeah, you know, like I took some liberties and blah blah blah." You know, his justification for it was that essentially the ends justify the means, and I understand that. And he's not a journalist, and
yeah,
he does. I mean,
specifically, he apparently misrepresented the number of places he'd visited and the exact nature of the things he saw. And,
well, a lot of it was like secondhand hearsay, anecdotal stuff that he never even saw. And like the translator, they had the NPR people had like someone doing some fact checking after the fact or whatever, and turns out that the translator was like, yeah, no one ever said that, or this never happened. And I mean, it's like, I don't know. It sucks. And it sucks because maybe there are people that could have been helped out. And this is not going to push that forward, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I mean, back to Apple, I mean, they've done very well. Obviously, largely due to the people that they have working in China. And they started paying dividends. And they're also going
to
buy back...
To those people working in China?
To shareholders. And they're also going to buy back $10 billion in stock.
Yes.
And they have, what is it, $60 billion? That they have like in Ireland.
Like, so they have $64 billion in overseas cash, and the remainder of the about $100 billion that they have in cash, the remainder of that is in the U.S. So they basically can't move any of the $64 billion of overseas funds back to the U.S. without some pretty heavy taxes on it. So they're planning to keep that stuff overseas, but then with the remaining 36-ish billion, they're gonna do some things.
Yeah, and I mean, I actually, people, you offer stock as a way to raise capital. Apple does not need capital.
Right.
So being able to buy back some of the ownership in themselves, I think, is a really good move, and I like that a lot. Now, the dividends thing is, I mean, I don't know what's bad about that, other than that, you know, Steve didn't like it. But Steve had very specific beliefs in how stock and finance works and how what role that plays in the business. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think I may be wrong about this, but my feeling would be that that having a large cash reserve is sort of a guarantee that, you know, we can continue doing what we want to do through another hard time if one does come up.
Yes. Yeah.
That we've got this rainy day fund for something like that.
Or for acquisitions. I mean, the obvious thing is that you want that kind of money because you want to do something with it.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily just, you know, for the lean years, as it were, but it's so you can acquire things. So, like, you know, I think, in all honesty, the only reason, I mean, if it wasn't going to be completely struck down by regulatory authorities, I mean, Apple would have bought AT&T or T-Mobile or something a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
would have just bought a mobile operator outright. And have been like, yeah, okay, screw the, you know,
well,
dealing with these guys sucks. And
we know that they like vertically integrating. I mean, they like having the retail store that lends, you know, that gives you the first-hand experience with the products.
Yep.
So then you buy those, and then you've got the product, and now you're buying songs from iTunes, and you're, you know, hosting your data in iCloud and all this stuff. So they like that seamless experience.
I think
they would probably love to also take care of the service side of that.
Yeah, you know, like, they didn't really do a whole... I mean, they at one time had an online service, right?
An internet service?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was internet service. It was like it had internet email, but they did offer an online service that competed with, like, CompuServe and AOL and Prodigy.
Oh,
what
I didn't know that.
What was that called? Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
All right.
But yeah,
well, anyway,
you could dial it up with your Newton. I'm dead serious.
The sort of, I mean, I'm curious as to, you know, where you would
E-World.
Weigh,
it was called E-World.
Fantastic. I'm curious as to where you would weigh
Sorry, but they had Apple Link also in like 1985.
Wow.
And that's actually how some of the Apple service centers used to get like technical bulletins and stuff too.
So they've got this $10 billion buyback. They're paying some dividends. They're going to keep the other cash overseas. How do you rate that in comparison to, you know, buying a mobile operator? The extreme example we gave on a previous show was Disney. You know, buying some big company and doing something crazy with it.
Well, obviously they're not unless they have a play. You know, I don't know that. Something like that big, kind of tips your hand.
Yeah.
So, well, more likely would be that they are building a mobile network or something like behind the scenes.
I mean, yeah, because Apple would not actually, it would not work well for AT&T to be owned by Apple, because then you've got all of this infrastructure and all of these employees and everything that AT&T has, and it's all terrible. It's all, you know,
it's not necessarily terrible across the board, but there's a lot of overlap.
Password in clear text.
Okay, they're idiots.
It's terrible from the core. I'm dramatizing here. I'm Mike Daisying here.
I want in the case of like AT&T or the mobile operators, I want them to get out of the stuff like that they're terrible at. Like the retail stores are stupid, and like the constant keeping their finger in every single handset that they sell, and like the locking unlocking thing. Like, I really wish that they would just focus on the utility aspect of their service.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Terrible business.
Yep. They're not doing that as far as, or Apple is not engineering a takeover or anything like that, as far as we can tell, because, it appears they're doing something a bit more conservative with their cash on hand. So anyway, speaking of Apple, we got a lot of Apple on this show, and I told you before the show that,
shut up.
That there was too much Apple, and then we ended up with half a show of Apple. No matter. I've heard the new iPad gets too hot. The screen isn't that great. It doesn't run that much faster.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard that it has lit at least three people's houses on fire. Can you confirm or deny these reports I've been hearing?
First of all, I wish that it was burning people's houses down.
Okay.
I don't know. I bought my my 32 gig Wi-Fi iPad last week, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, keep in mind, I had the first generation iPad. So it's a huge upgrade in terms of the performance.
I currently got the first gen, and I have not upgraded.
But. It is like night and day.
Hmm.
It is that significant. I mean, software is a lot faster. I don't have some of the memory issues that I've been having. It is a much more polished user experience, and it really does make the previous or the first generation seem very crusty. I like it a lot, okay. And I haven't noticed any heat problems either, and neither I don't think Consumer Reports did. There are a bunch of people who are like, look at these thermal maps of people that are playing 3D games on their iPad for 4 hours, and then it's 5 degrees hotter than the iPad 2 or something, and everyone's in a panic.
So I'm curious, since you came from the original iPad, what do you think about the smart case?
Oh, I like it. I did get one. It's a little weird in that how to phrase this? The way that it attaches to the side, it does move around a little. Like it's not. It doesn't go completely flush when you fold it over. And it's not bad. It's just I'm aware of it in a way that that I am not used to. But
right.
I usually have some sort of like case thing for it anyways, and I'll probably get like from Vaha, they make like a back for it. Cause the one thing that I did notice is I have the iPad stand charge thing. It's like
sure,
a little, bracket with a charge thing on it for the dock connector that my iPhone 4 won't fit into because it's, or maybe it will. I don't know. I don't think it does. I think, I don't know, but, the iPad fits into it. And the new iPad does too, except that it's not easy. So I've actually got like a little scratch on it on the back on the finish from where I like was mashing it onto the onto the stand, like trying to get it on. Like
that's weird because I mean it's smaller, right?
Well, it's smaller than the first.
I mean, thinner.
Yeah,
it's
thinner, but it's a little bit thicker than the second. I don't know, but the I think. If you don't do a lot of reading and you already have an iPad 2, I don't know that it's, I wouldn't be in a big hurry to upgrade unless you need like a 4G, or you do a lot of reading and you really want the display. Cause I got to tell you, the display is pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I mean, we can continue the iPad discussion in a moment.
Video looks so good on it.
I meant to throw this into my stuff for one of these weeks, but several shows ago, I remember advising or I remember talking about someone who had asked you about the decision of selling their I think it was selling their iPad to buy an Xbox or selling their Xbox to buy an iPad. I forget which one.
Yeah, yeah. That was a friend of the show, Sean.
Okay, awesome. And so I had said that we're probably going to hear about some new Xbox stuff, this E3 coming very soon, and then we'll probably see the hardware out next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week, Microsoft has said we are not showing anything at E3 this year. We are fully committed to the current Xbox 360 throughout 2012.
Okay. So,
That is interesting, I'll just revise my advice there, in that hey, there's still some life cycle there. If you want to pick up a new Xbox, maybe it's still a pretty reasonable time to do so, and you can get some pretty good deals on them. So
that's true, and they're still they're definitely doing well with Kinect, and the new Xbox Dash stuff I guess is working really well. Although
it's speedy.
One of the peeps in my office, I guess his girlfriend, it has a hard time. It doesn't really understand her. And that's a common problem, I guess, for people that do voice recognition systems, especially for like car navigation stuff, because they're written by like sweaty bros, and like they don't have a lot of women that they
that they get samples
yeah,
from?
Apparently, and you would think that like they would get like these really broad sample sets, but they definitely seem to have a problem with it. There's a couple of really good articles about, especially like the car navigation systems out there. But
speaking of which, I mean, how was the dictation on the?
Oh yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
There's I haven't had any issues with it at all. In fact, it does very well. I've been really happy with it. I haven't like done a long term, like a huge stretch or anything with it. But
I've heard it. I've heard it's just a way for Apple to harvest your data.
Oh, probably. I'm sure they care so much. I mean, after all, you know, Google.
That,
Google is looking into using ambient noise when you're talking on the phone to decide what ads to play you when you're calling somebody. I'm not kidding. There's been like two articles about that this week that look very credible. They're like, oh yeah, like when you're calling someone instead of a ringtone, what if you heard an ad? And what if like, you know, we opened up the microphone on your phone to know like what's going on around you, or the things that you like in your Gmail account can influence like what ad you hear when you call somebody. And I'm just like,
I do not want these things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like people, I mean, again, it's like, well, you know, Apple controls everything, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but they control it so that you don't have to deal with this. Like, you know, like what are they doing with it? You know, like the Apple has a mail service. They could be selling ads. You know, like there's a lot of things that Apple could do.
Well, Apple's mail service, you know, is wait, actually, I don't know. Does it still cost money?
No.
No?
No, you get iCloud for free if you have an Apple ID.
And you get all the webmail stuff for free now too?
Yep. So I mean, there's things like Siri do require you to talk to an internet service somewhere that does the voice processing. That's why it's good. You know, like
yeah, no, I'm not.
So, well, that's the other argument too. Is people were like, well, how come the new iPad doesn't do Siri? Is Siri a failure? And it's like, well, no, because first of all, it needs a constant connection in order to use it, and secondly, Siri is still a beta level. So, I fully expect it will at some point do Siri, just like the iPhone 4 will probably do Siri someday.
Hopefully. Yeah.
I think it's really a service scalability issue more than anything else. And it's not that the service sucks. It's that it's a feature of the 4S that it has it and that they're still in this pilot phase. I mean, all of Apple's documentation on Siri says that it's a beta product.
Oh, huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I looked at it last week and they're like, yeah, Siri beta, blah, blah, blah.
I've got Evie on my iPhone. So really, I don't need Siri.
I've had some problems with it though.
Evie
doesn't understand the town that I live in.
Evie has some issues.
If I say the name of where I live, Evie always gets it wrong. And like I have to be very deliberate. And you know, the dictation feature on my new iPad is fine with where I live.
All right. Yeah. I mean I'm certainly looking forward to, you know, seeing the Siri stuff expanded on more devices. But it sounds like dictation is at least a decent step in that direction. So
yeah, all right.
Yeah. Anything else cool about the iPad?
No, it's really fast. I like it a lot. Yeah, I don't know. I've got nothing but good things to say about it. I've really enjoyed it.
I've heard Baldur's Gate is coming to iPad.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Sirius. Sirius sent me a card in the mail. They are going to activate the Sirius radio in my Volkswagen this week.
Oh.
As like a demo trial bait the hook thing.
All right.
I will be rolling down the windows and rocking out to the Metropolitan Opera.
I was just going to say, there is one and only one channel you need to tune that thing to. And just keep it locked there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What number is it? What channel is it?
Metro. I don't actually know because I listen on the streaming player. So
you're such an idiot.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The website to listen to the broadcast that you can also listen to on the website.
Satellite broadcast. Yeah.
That's great.
No, I maintain that the specific broadcast that I listen to is not available.
Oh, you did?
By the Met Opera.
Did you check
stuff? But I have not gone in detail. But for my cursory glancing,
no,
I did not.
Come on, because
so.
Anyway, you know, Vesper looked and she says that it's the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Channel 74.
See, now we're talking about her on the show. She's going to be all mad now.
All right. Channel 74.
Okay.
Yeah. And what you should do
I'm making
is,
a note. 7-4. Okay, got it.
What you should do is you should look on the website of you know, on the Sirius XM website, on the Met Opera Radio channel website, and every week they put out a PDF of the live performances that are coming up that week.
Okay. So,
it is not an efficient way to learn about the upcoming live performances since it involves downloading a new PDF every week. But it is a way, and those are by far the highlights of Met Opera Radio. So, yeah. Anyway, and that is really. I mean, there are some other channels on Sirius that are fine, but that is the killer app right there. Is Met Opera Radio.
Here's something funny. I was reading a little bit about eWorld. It was $8.95 for a monthly subscription, which included 2 hours of evening or weekend use. Additional hours were $5 in the evenings and weekends, or almost $8 an hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Wow.
It had only 90,000 subscribers after a year.
Wow. Oh, that is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, in June of 95 is when Apple posted a $68 million loss. And it's probably largely in part because of this service. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, thankfully, Apple is in a very different place now as far as the types of services they're offering.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that'll probably do it for this episode of the Hell Yeah Show. If you do want to contact us and tell you how much you love Apple Incorporated, the email to do that is show@hellyeah.com.
Oh,
Emery will be happy to have a conversation with you.
I hate you. Or you can write us on the Twitter machine, send us a tweet at Hell Yeah Show, twitter.com.
And you can visit us online.
Show.hellyeah.com.
Show.hellyeah.com. That'll do it, as I said. We will see you next week.
Tip your waitress.